and welcome back to 10 out of 10 We'd Watch Again with Lorna Ross.
Hello.
We're tired. We are so sleep deprived. We stayed up for the 97th Academy Awards, and we turns out that we do have enough thoughts and opinions to fill a podcast. So
yeah, we do.
This is our last time talking about 2025 Oscar movies.
Thank fuck.
And yeah, I'm tired and my brain's rattled. Like, I'm actually buzzing just to watch something that I don't need to worry about. Also, we've got all these TV shows to catch up on that we've not had the chance to watch. Like, we are so behind on everything. If you hear any jingling in the background, our cats have decided, now they've slept all day, and they have decided that the second we set up the microphones, that the noisiest toy in the house has to be pulled out. So if you hear any jingle bells in the background, it's not Santa, it's just Jurassic being a dickhead.
Aye, little bastard.
So anyway, without further ado, we'll crack into 2025 Oscars. We'll just go through, like, we kind of took our notes in, like, runtime order, do you know what I mean? We'll say who won, who didn't win, what was the actual ready moments of the night, which there were a few, and then this is us. You don't ever need to hear us talk about the Oscars again until next year.
Yeah.
So, over here in the UK, we don't have Oscars the way the Americans do, where they've got, like, the jazzy adverts and the red carpets and da-da-da. We get Jonathan Ross and whatever fannies decide to join him on the night shift. Now, I don't know who these two women were. Maybe they're really important. I have no clue who they were.
It's always two nobodies.
No, I know. Here, you leave Jason Isaacs alone. He was there for 5 minutes.
He was there for one award.
And what he said was something, you know?
He swore, then left.
Yeah, that's true.
That's it.
He was like, I'm working tomorrow, I'm away.
Aye.
But, like, if you're a host, drop in conversation pointers, like, let your guests talk and then round it all up. Do you know what I mean? Whereas none of them were, like, listening to each other. They were all just talking over the top of each other.
Yeah.
And I do understand the irony of me saying people talking over the top of each other when that's all me and Ross do. Do you know what I mean? But there was no... No, when you watch Graham Norton, I understand Graham Norton can't come to ITV, but Graham Norton does it right, you know? And when things are going wrong, he knows how to, like, circle back and bring it to where it needs to be. Jonathan Ross does not have that because he loves the sound of his own voice more than anything else. So really, for next year, for 2026 Oscars, Gonny Gee's a different host, man. Jonathan Ross, a nightmare. So we'd read there was going to be, like, a 10-minute Wicked number.
Yeah.
So we were kind of like, is it going to be a medley? Are we going to get just the 20 minutes of Defying Gravity done in real time?
The movie version.
Wrap your pish. But Ariana Grande came out and it was given very, like, X Factor semi-finals, do you know what I mean? Like, she was over singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow that I've no heard for ages. And, like, do you know that way? This was everything I was feared she was going to do in Wicked. So, you know what? Fuck it, babe. You have your moment. You stand on that stage and you belt every single note and note in between the notes. You wire in, do you know what I mean? But honestly, like, that whole time I was like, I'm so glad she didn't do this in Wicked, do you know what I mean? And then your bird, your woman.
Don't. I just... A lot of the musical performances this year was very bad. Like, they were not needed. And it just wasted time for no reason, because this is already a long show.
Yeah.
We do not need half the stuff that, like, the filler for this.
No. And speeches were played off rapidly.
Yeah.
So that I could listen to Cynthia Erivo go, like, one more time. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
It's just, I get the grandizing of it all, right? Because they done this for, like, LA. Because they had a montage of LA. It'd be like, feel sorry for us millionaires who have lost their houses.
Mm-hmm. It was, like, montages of, like, different bits of movies that have shown LA. Like, you had La La Land, you had some Twin Peaks in there, you had some Goodfellas in there. Like, there was loads of I'm a car driving down. Like, do you know what I mean? Once upon a time in Hollywood, all this kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean?
But you might feel sorry for these people, but they don't mention anything about the normal folk that live in LA.
Yeah.
That have generally lost everything.
Yeah.
They can't just fuck off to a flight to their penthouse in New York.
It's 100%.
Feel sorry for us. Is it? Don't think I will.
Yeah. And there was a moment later on in the show where they brought out the LA Fire Department, and obviously they got a standing ovation. Like, the work they've done, lives they've saved, you know? And I turned around to Ross and I was like they're all giving a standing ovation and a cheer as like a thank you that my $1 million mansion is safe, but wee Jimmy's down the street, isn't he? Do you know what I mean? Like, perspective people, you know?
Aye.
There was, and another thing before we get into it is like, and another thing, like, I felt the start of this was quite awkward because everyone obviously knows that everything's a shit show right now. Do you know what I mean? Between the fires and Trump and all the stuff that's going on and everybody's just raging all the time. Do you know what I mean? And I did feel like at the start there was a lot of dancing around it. Do you know what I mean? It was like, oh, we're here being glamorous. Meanwhile, the world's on fire. Do you know what I mean? And then it was as the show went on, there wasn't as many political things as I thought there was going to be, but there was a few heavy hitters that I was like, yes, do you know what I mean? Like, shit had to be fucking said. Like, this is one of the biggest stages in the world. Like, Conan O'Brien said there was however many million people were watching it. Like, this is your fucking time. Say thank you, but say the shit that needs to be said. Do you know what I mean?
See, when it comes to, like, the Oscars and all your big award shows for everything, a lot of it is, like, just giving yourself a wee pat in the back.
Yeah.
But, because a lot of the speeches, obviously, they're thanking the same people, so producers and that, but can you really take it serious from what these people are saying?
Yeah, yeah. I understand, right? I understand there's a lot of, like, people put too much onto celebrities sometimes, right?
Yeah.
But what, like, you have a platform, you have all this money, and you have a platform for a reason. Yes, you were once just a normal person from wherever in America. Now you are a multi-millionaire nominated actor or actress. Like, this is your time to stand up for your fan base, for your beliefs. Like, assert yourself. And I feel like too many people are feared to do the, no, I think this is wrong. Everyone's just like, thanks for my wee gold statue. I'm away. Do you know what I mean? And I know not everything needs to be political, but in times like this right now, I think making your stance very clear needs to be done. Do you know what I mean? Like, people want to know that the people they look up to aren't pricks. Do you know what I mean? Bare minimum, you know?
Bare minimum. Bare minimum. Know the fact that they've spent months making your movies and all. Bare, just get political.
I don't mean it like
that.
No,
I know. I'm only kidding.
So Conan O'Brien obviously started out the show. We are so sleep deprived people, okay? If this is a shit show, this is on you, babe, okay? Like, next week we'll be back to it. We are so, so tired. There is not enough coffee in the world to get us through today. So Conan O'Brien started out the show and came out of, like, Demi Moore's back, like, substance style, you know? And I didn't hate it. Like, the internet already seems to hate it, and I don't mind it, do you know what I mean? Like, I think they could have, no, there's been like previous years where they've taken the piss out of like every Best Picture nominee or something. It did, like, I'm sure there was a year, like, I think it was Kimmel did like a montage of all the movies as if he was in it and all that. Like, he could have taken the piss more out of everything, but there's been a lot of like, oh my God, he pure targeted the substance. Like, it makes sense. It's funny.
Yeah.
Like, relax.
It was just a daft wee skit. Like, there's people, I think, are taking it too serious.
100%.
Like, this whole thing this year was very low-key.
It really, really was. It, like, really was.
They didn't want it going on for, like, the 4.5 hours it usually does. So it was just like, get to the point and do your thing, which can appreciate, but you can't. I think people are just more annoyed that the results of what happened.
Yeah, annoyed and shocked. Like, so me and Ross had put up were guesstimations on Instagram, and I was just kind of going to read them out as we hit each category. Yeah. But me and Ross were so wrong. Like, it ended up being like a score draw. Like, we really, really underestimated Anora being the winner. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I think it's either that it came to a shock or we're just so out of touch with, like, the movies that we've seen. Maybe we see it as, like, all right, the big long drawn movies are still the favourites for these things, where there might be a shift. Like, as
there's clearly a shift. Yeah.
Like, maybe as where there's more people voting in the Oscars, there's a, like, they made it a more diverse thing that people can see these movies now as, no, this is Oscar worthy.
Yeah, and you made a point last night, and I don't know if I'm actually going to steal one of your points that you're going to say, but you made the point last night of that, like, obviously The Brutalist is a 3.5 hour epic that I fucking thought was a biopic because I'm a fucking idiot, drinking. But, like, you made the point last night of that, like, Oppenheimer won last year, and that's nearly 4 hours long, and, yeah, like, a huge state, like, that is a statement of a film, you know?
Aye.
And maybe this year they were just like, nah, man, the monster film won it last year. Like, aye.
I mean, give them the credit, because it did win some things, but I don't... Because I wonder if the industry still... I mean, I do wonder if they still really care about these Oscars, if it means as much to them as it used to. But I feel that if they do it and they give it to, like, the 3.5-4 hour movies, is if these people care about these type of things, is that all they're going to start making again?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, listen, next year we've got Christopher Nolan's The Odyssey. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's going to be a pure 4 hour bad boy. So it might come back next year, you know?
So is that out next year?
I think, yeah, they're all filming it now.
Oh, God.
That's why they were saying, like, the reason the Oscars was so quiet was because everyone's filming the now. Because I read a thing and it was like, oh, because they're still talking about the writer strikes, they're still blaming the writer strikes, right? And it was like, oh, because everything was delayed, all of the filming schedules are now, so not a lot of the actors could get the night off to go, which I'm calling bullshit. I just don't think a lot of people wanted to go. Like, yeah. I don't think, we were saying this earlier on, like, if you're not nominated, why are you there? Like, why do you want to be there? Yeah. Like, if you don't have any skin in the game, like, are you going to sit uncomfortable in, like, a four-piece suit and a fancy ball gown for what? Do you know what I mean? Just go to the after party, you'll be fine, do you know what I mean?
Aye, of course. Like, that's what we say then, is it? You'll let you support somebody, like, say it was your partner or, like, the director and all that, but it's a long time to wait about. You're wasting your whole day.
100%. So we'll dive in. Like, they hit out with Best Supporting Actor, like, straight off the bat. I thought we were going to need to wait till the end.
Yeah, the first one, that's a bit of a shout.
Yeah, because normally, like, the start is all, like, editing documentaries, mm-hmm, short films, like, and it's by the end you really need to wait for the big ones.
Oh, yeah, aye.
So for Best Supporting Actor, I had Kieran Culkin, and Ross had Guy Pearce, and I won, 1.3. And so deserved, like, honestly, Kieran Culkin so deserved. I thought his, like, that's the Kieran Culkin thing, like, I don't know if he just is never prepared. Like, he's won every Best Supporting Actor award this season, so I don't know why he wasn't prepared for the Oscar, do you know what I mean? But, or if this is just his bit, you know, this is just his gimmick, but
I think it's just his shtick.
Yeah, his speech was lovely, do you know what I mean? And he was like, oh, I didn't think this was my trajectory, but, like, happy days. And then, obviously, like, called out his wife and was like, oh, last year you said you wouldn't give me any more babies until I won an Oscar. Well, and, like, they were pure laughing and all that. It was pure cute. I was like, let's not air the laundry out. But, like, it was cute. Yeah. I was happy. I was a happy boy.
I saw he... Obviously, he beat out Guy Pearce for The Brutalist, Yuri Borisov for Anora,
yep,
Edward Norton, A Complete Unknown, and Jeremy Strong for The Apprentice. So it's quite a tough category.
I thought all the categories this year were pretty stacked, though. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like we said last week, like, even if our picks for Best Picture didn't win, it was any man for themselves. Like, yeah, every movie was good except for one. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I'm saying that as if, like, I think I picked one correct, so yeah. I clearly don't know what I'm talking about.
No, we ended up in a score draw.
Yeah, but it was only one each. It's hardly like, oh, 4-4. But, I mean, like, there was only one category that out of our predictions, which we could kind of say is, that's going to happen. Do you know what I mean? But, like, even see the other ones, it's like hair and makeup and all that. The first year we've watched was like, this is close.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you, even if your pick didn't win, you can't be annoyed by a lot of the results in this.
Absolutely not. Because these were all big movies in their own way, do you know what I mean? And I say that as like Anora was like the smallest budget and the smallest one out of the lot, but these were like world building movies, mm-hmm. like with huge costumes and all this kind of stuff. Like everything was super impactful. So you weren't bothered about who won, do you know what I mean? Special thank you to Andrew Garfield for bringing back those reading glasses. You have made us all very happy. And him and Goldie Hawn were giving out the awards for Best Animated Feature, which was awarded to a movie called Flow. Might have been good. We never seen it. But raging that Wallace and Gromit was robbed, do you know what I mean? They've been bringing their own like mini red carpet for Wallace and Gromit and Feathers McGraw and all that. And I was like, guys, do you know what I mean? Oh no, I was gutted that Wallace and Gromit were robbed.
For all Wallace and Gromit didn't win, I think they've kind of won it every other time they've turned up to these things.
Yeah,
which is fair enough. Like from what I've seen about this movie, because that I think Wallace and Gromit's the only animated one we'd watched.
No, Inside Out
2. Oh, sorry, I forgot that was nominated.
Yeah.
That wasn't that great.
No, it wasn't
that
great.
But from what I've heard about Float, it was the first Latvian.
Yep.
First Latvian Oscar nominated, first like Latvian Oscar winner. And it was done on a software that's free. So now it just shows you that, I mean, this is probably the smallest movie ever to win an Oscar.
And it's one of those ones as well that like, because like they've basically done it on like their Apple laptops or whatever, like on the software on that, it's like it's a quite inspirational, I think, of like if you can do it. Like there was only like 10 or 15 people working on the movie or something, so like you too could turn on your laptop and try and make an Oscar winning cartoon, you know. And I did feel like that was the theme of the night, of just like the little guys coming back, you know, like the little guys showing that he's still here, do you know what I mean? There was a lot of independent, small made things that were winning that I was like, no, good for you, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, the indie ones really done well this year. I think a lot of the categories where the more money wins is more the technical side of it.
Yes.
Which obviously, I mean, I'm saying that like Marvel not have $1 billion to spend, they don't win, but I mean, a lot of the blockbuster movies won in those categories. But I it does seem like it's just a shift into like the storytelling that is just more than the like the grandeur of the movie, which is good to see.
Yeah, we're going back into like artful movies, you know?
Like, as they say then, is it movies with something to tell?
Yeah.
Is it fuck off?
Oh no, there was a lot of fart sniffing last night. Like, there was a lot of times where Ross genuinely turned his back to the telly because he was cringing so hard. Like,
For the Andrew Garfield bit, I had to cringe, like, so hard.
No, it was bad.
He was trying to do, like, this heartfelt thing because his mother loved Goldie Hawn, mm-hmm. and she just blew it off rapid.
Didn't she, man? She was like, that's nice anyway. And I was like, oh, like, he was trying so hard to have, like, if you want to have a heartfelt moment with Goldie Hawn and tell her how much she meant to your dead mother, save that for the after party or save that for, like, before you go on stage or something, you know. Do not do it on international television when she's no arse. She's just like, okay, thanks, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, if you're hosting an award for this, why are you trying to bring up your own stuff? Like, just go there, do the job and leave. Like, I've never understood why they try and make it. Just not make it about them. That's a bit harsh, but there's a time and a place for this, as you've just said, like, you can't do that.
Yeah, you can't be hitting out, really, especially like off guard, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like pure.
But as soon as she brushed off, I was like, oh no, this is poor.
It was bad, man. It was really, really bad.
He tried his best to bring it back, but didn't work.
I know, I was like, just put your wee glasses on and shut up, it's fine. Do you know what I mean? I like Andrew Garfield. I just wish he would take a day off, you know, like he does take himself way too seriously, do you know what I mean? Like, apparently he is now going out with Monica Barbaro too, of A Complete Unknown fame. Not confirmed, but there's a bit of gossip for you guys. So for best costume, Wicked won. And I was like, fair enough, do you know what I mean? Like, everybody looked class and Wicked, like, costumes are great. Someone from every nominated movie came out and talked about how the costumes helped them get into the film. And honestly, I was surprised that Nosferatu didn't get it, purely because of how much work was put into making it, like, period accurate. Do you know what I mean? Like, But then Lily Rose Depp was like, oh yeah, putting on the costume made me feel the oppression of women. And I was like, okay, why are you in? Do you know what I mean? And then John Lithgow did it right, where he was making jokes about, oh, I miss my Conclave costume because I could have like second and third helpings at catering and you couldn't tell. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, let's have a good time with it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's, it's all meant to be about like celebration, but it's just funny seeing you can tell like the younger ones are like, we are so serious about this.
Yeah.
This is all crap. As if they're trying to prove themselves. And yeah.
Well, it's their time to prove themselves, isn't it? Like, to they all want to be the heavy hitters, so...
No, I get that, but the Oscars ceremony isn't that time. It's on the screen. Like, do your job and people will take you serious.
Totally. Yeah. Like, people would take Lily Rose Depp more serious if she wasn't making shite. Do you know what I mean? Like, Nosferatu is, like, the only good thing I've ever seen her in. But, like, I think it would have been cool for Nosferatu to win... like costume or makeup or even set design, do you know what I mean? Like Robert Eggers has not stopped talking about how much work he put in to try and make everything like era specific, you know? But like honestly, fair play to Wicked for winning, you know? And when he got up and announced that he was the first black man to win, like the standing ovation and the joy and people were really there to like uplift him and were proud, you know? And I was like, fucking good on you, my guy. Like, It was a night of a lot of firsts, and it was a historic night for a lot of things, you know. I mean, like, there was a lot of like first time winners, four time winners, first people from like certain countries winners, like that. This is the first ever Latvian Oscar, like, do you know what I mean? So I did think, as much as it was low key and things, like, it's going to make the book somewhere, you know.
Oh, it's got to.
Straight after that, Sean Baker won the first of four wins for best screenplay for Anora. And we were making the joke of like, aye, all right, Sean Baker like wrote the theme tune, sung the theme tune. No, he fucking did. Like, he wrote it, produced it, edited it, directed it, and he won for all those four things.
Yeah, he was on the stage every time. That just shows you his prowess.
100%, 100%. And what I really appreciated was when he got up and he said thank you to the sex worker community, and that shows his respect, you know, because obviously all of his movies have been about sex workers or ex-sex workers or that kind of thing. And he's been getting a lot of shtick online for, like, exploiting the work. But it's obvious that he's a guy that kind of knows what he's talking about. Like, he said that. He was like, I've got friends that have done it. I speak to a lot of sex workers. He's honouring the stories that he's been told. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I said that last week. I was like, this isn't the kind of one of like the 2014 Lana Del Rey glamorization of like, isn't this fabulous? Like, it was very, you can tell there's honesty in it, you know?
No, he shows them like, yes, this is the work they do. They are flawed people. They are troubled people. But like, it's real life.
Yeah.
This movie's probably his most far-fetched out of them.
Yeah.
Like, the story itself, but, like, it's just a testament to his writing, and that is that he, like, this was the most different out of all the big, like, the best pictures this year.
Absolutely.
And this is the most, I wouldn't say it's the best one in my opinion, but it's the most standout, at least for, like, the, just the way it was done, like, everything about it.
Yeah. Pause, because I want to have that conversation when we get to best movie, because I have thoughts of if we rewatch it now kind of thing, so keep that in the back of your head. Conclave won for best adapted screenplay. Stunning, smashing. I don't really know what else there is to say about it. Like,
I don't really understand how you win an award for best adapted screenplay.
Just, is it like how faithful you are to the book, or how faithful you are to the... Because a lot of the, you said that last week, like a lot of the Oscar movies are all from like books and operas and all this kind of thing. So I'm thinking it's just how faithful you are, but I've never read Conclave. So.
That's what I don't get though, is that what are you voting on? Like, obviously it's like screenwriters and that vote for this stuff, so they'll know better than me because I'm just an idiot on a podcast. But what is the, like, just... Somebody explain to me, what is it, please? I don't really know what... Because when these awards come, I was like, great, aye. No idea what they're talking about, but aye, cool.
Smashing, son, smashing.
Right, good on Peter Strom, who adapted the the screenplay for Conclave.
Yeah.
Like the Robert Harris novel. Good on him.
I will probably never read the Robert Harris novel, but good for you.
Don't need anime, I know what happens.
Aye, that's true. So The Substance won for best makeup, and to be honest, like, of course it did, do you know what I mean? But this was a really stacked year for practical effects. Like, I'd have been happy if Nosferatu had won it. And it does just go to show you, like, this is the year of practical effects. Keep it going, bring it back, like, make it work, do you know?
I mean, in this category alone, you had A Different Man, which was obviously the Sebastian Stan one. Like, the effects in that, amazing.
Incredible, yeah.
Then
yeah.
Wicked, which is, I mean, Wicked was stunning in, like, most things, other than the final note of a song. And as I said, Nosferatu, like, I'm not annoyed that, like, Substance won this one, but how did Nosferatu not get a shout? Like, that's got to have been, surely.
That's the thing, isn't it? Like, there were so many categories where I was like, right, Nosferatu can get something, do you know what I mean? But they get nothing, they never even got a... And you never really seen the rest of the cast, like, in the... Or not even the cast, but, like, I never even saw Robert Eggers there, like, do you know what I mean? It was just, like, the costume people and the makeup people and all that. I would have been happy if Nosferatu had won for costume, set design, or makeup, because you can't even, I know you didn't like the film, but you can't even...
Oh, it looked
that,
phenomenal.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't leave that film and not be like, this is not stunning, do you know what I mean? I do think it was, like, a proper stack for practical makeup. Like, the makeup in that A Different Man was incredible. Like,
oh, yeah.
And flawless, do you know what I mean? Like, but before we move on to the next one, right, cut to that woman on Jonathan Ross being like, oh, The Substance shouldn't have won because that was special effects. And it's like, there were special effects in The Substance, but that's not this category. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I know, again, like you said, I've got cheek to say it because I'm just a woman on a podcast. Do you know what I mean? But if you are going to be the host of the Oscars or like a guest judge or whatever, know your shit, know what you are going to be talking about.
Yeah.
And if you don't know that practical makeup isn't CGI special effects,
if you can't tell
you,
the difference, like, what are you doing?
I know. Honestly, it was when she said that and I turned around to you and I was like, have I pure misheard her? Like, what is happening?
Yeah, I know, it's bullshit. Utter bullshit she was spouting all night. It was very, very annoying.
Yeah, you and me the whole night were just like, no, cut.
Like, I would have rather just had ITV adverts in between each one.
Absolutely, man, absolutely. We... So after that, we moved on to the Governor's Awards, which was given to the producers of James Bond for their, like, contribution to everything. This obviously comes after the news that Amazon has bought James Bond.
Yeah, they've bought the franchise, yeah.
Yeah, so they don't... The future of Bond, we don't know what it's going to be. Knowing Amazon, it's going to be spin-offs, prequels. I think I'm personally not hopeful for the future of Bond, but you know Amazon will put a lot of money behind it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, this was very... I assume this was planned beforehand.
Yeah.
Before, because the Bond news only came out, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
So unless they've just cobbled this together, which I doubt.
Yeah.
This felt very much like goodbye to Bond.
Yeah.
And is it like Bond as you know it is done?
Yeah. It was a medley of... So Margaret Qualley got up, done her wee dance, and it was Lisa from Blackpink sang Live and Let Die. I thought she did really well. I thought she was really good.
Yeah.
Doja Cat came out and gave her best Shirley Bassey impersonation for Diamonds Are Forever. And it was fucking dreadful.
Yeah.
It was really bad. Like, it was, there was nothing going right. And it went on and on and on. And then Ray rounded it all out by singing an over-the-top yet off-key rendition of Skyfall. And I'm like, why couldn't we have phoned Adele? I know Adele is trying to pack it in, but could she know I just showed up for, like, one? You know what I mean?
I just don't understand why they've done this in general.
No, it was... Yeah, like you said, like, it did feel like a goodbye Bond thing, you know? I had seen a thing, like, I don't know where I'd read it, but it was that, like, so obviously they killed Bond off in No Time to Die, so it's like, right, where do we go from it now? Do we go from that Bond is still the code word Alias, so therefore it can be moved on. Do we go into prequels of before, but then it can't... Was that not what in His Majesty's Secret Service or so? There is a prequel Bond, I just can't remember what it's called. And then, or going on to like side characters and all this kind of thing. Like, we thought it was going to be an announcement of a new Bond. Like, I thought after Skyfall or something, like somebody was going to like rise from the floor and be like, it's me, Bond. Do you know what I mean?
What a better time to announce it.
Totally.
It's like, fair enough. I know Amazon have just bought it, so they'll probably want their own man in, or man or woman, I should say. But I just, like, see, even people, what we're seeing online, it's like, oh, like, they've killed Bond, like, so he can't come back. Is it? They could just write a new story. Like, none of the Bonds really follow the same, like, the same story. Absolutely. It's kind of only the more recent ones that have done that. So just write them going to fucking some of these countries and fighting a bad guy. That's all you need.
100%. I like the Bond stories. Like, they've always just kind of mostly been standalone films. It's just the Daniel Craig ones that are more, they've really been connected. Do you know what I mean? But I was the same as you, especially because, like, we've had, like, Henry Cavill up for it, allegedly. We've had Anne Taylor-Johnson up for it, allegedly. There was talks of the woman who played, I can't remember, but she was in No Time to Die.
She was the 007 Monica.
Yes, thank you. She was the new double. There was chat that she was going to come up and do it. And it's just been kind of rumors circulating, and it would have been nice if it had been a, here we go.
Yeah.
But this was just, it was a really weird, off-key, far too long goodbye Bond scenario. Yeah. Like, it was really bizarre. Really
it's just, it was to honor what Amazon are inevitably going to murder.
Yeah.
Like, there's no other way you can describe, because they'll make TV shows about, was it MI5?
Yes.
MI5, look what the office workers do. Is it? I don't care.
Yeah.
I want James Bond going to nice places, shooting people, fighting bad guys with one karate chop.
100%.
Like, what's so hard about
that? As a beautiful woman walks by in a bikini, you know? Like, there's nothing wrong with the Bond formula. Like, this is what people want from their Bond movies. Like, I'm not going to Bond to have my mind blown with, like, new thoughts and ideas and new perspectives on the world. I'm sitting down to watch Shoot, Shoot, Bang, Bang, Pretty Lady. Do you know what I mean?
I don't want to be in deep thought thinking about Bond.
Yeah. So we're still up in the air on what's going to happen to Bond and who's going to be the new Bond. But, you know, we'll see what Amazon do. So afterwards, it was for best editing, and Daryl Hannah stormed on that stage like an absolute fox. And the first thing she said was, I stand with Ukraine. And especially after the Trump and Zelensky stuff, she got like a raucous applause. Yeah. A raucous applause from everybody in the room. And good for her. Like, do you know what I mean? Honestly, I couldn't be in love with Daryl Hannah any more than I already was, you know? And Sean Baker won again for best editing. And every different speech, he came up and thanked a different person. I can't remember what order they came in, but one of his speeches was like, but his mum taking him to the cinema when he was 5. And
I think that was the best picture one.
Oh, right.
Okay. Oh, best director, sorry. I'll tell a lie. But this one, I believe, was everybody to go to the cinema.
That was it. Yeah. Like, oh no, was that not the last one? Or whatever.
Regardless.
There was one where he was like, everybody needs to go to the cinema, like, you need to watch these movies in the medium that they were done. Like, we need to fight against distributors who are putting everything on streaming, and we all need to go to the cinema. And I was like, well, you know what? Make it fucking cheaper. Do you know what I mean?
Stop selling your stuff to Prime and Netflix then after it. Like, 2 weeks after it's out the cinema.
Amen,
like,
brother.
You don't get to complain that go to the cinema, then have it on streaming straight after. Like, it doesn't work that way.
Or on streaming while it's still in the cinema.
Like, that's bullshit. Like, you can't do that. Like, I don't care how indie you want to be. That's just, it's not on.
No, I agree.
Right, you ready?
Right, go.
So the next one is, now this is fun.
Best, this is going to liven us up a bit.
Like, best supporting actress. And do I guess who won it?
Zoe fucking Saldana. Now listen, No beef to Zoe Saldana, right? I'm not going to lie to you, right? I'm not going to lie and say I was ever a Zoe Saldana fan before this. Like, she's never really been someone I've taken that seriously.
She's such a known entity.
Yeah, like, she's in everything, do you know what I mean? And has been in everything since we were, like, well, Crossroads with Britney Spears was the first time we probably saw her. And she's been in about everything ever. But it just so happens that she's in this fucking awful film. And I'm not being funny. Emilia Perez, I think, tried to game it a bit more than what they should have, because it was every fucking category Emilia Perez was in it. And I was like, how many, like, what? Like, they put themselves in for fucking everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And I, every time their name popped up, I was like, no, they can't. The actual can't win it. But Zoe Saldana won. And to be honest, should she have won? No, absolutely not. There was other actresses that were better, but to be fair, she's won it every single, like, award show this season, you know? She's the only one that's not been, like, blipped out, do you know what I mean?
Aye. Now, my problem is the four she's up against is Felicity Jones and The Brutalist. Not in it a lot, fair enough.
But great in
it. Yes. Monica Barbaro, complete unknown.
Class.
Right, she was great in that. Ariana Grande playing a very... like a massive character, like you can't...
like she's in the whole film, yes. Yeah.
And Isabella Rossellini, not in Conclave much, but she's great in it. Now, Zoe Saldana has the most screen time in Emilia Perez. She has more screen time than...
so, Carla Sofia Gascon.
Yes. So how can she be the supporting actress?
Yeah.
If she is... she's in this movie for, like, an hour, and Sofia's only in it for, like, 50 minutes.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah.
Who's she supporting here? She's the main. She's the lead in this.
Yeah.
Any, like, obviously, out with the shit that woman's done, like, on Twitter and all that, like, Zoe Saldana's the lead.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care what anybody says.
The movie starts on her and ends on her. You are not a supporting actress.
People,
you know what I mean?
Say it's the story of the cartel boss going through it, but I see it as it's her story of...
dealing with all this.
Dealing with that, essentially. I mean, that's a very basic way of putting it, but it's her having to navigate how to do all this.
Yep.
So, how the fuck is she a supporting actress in this?
I agree. And I also, now I know there will be further Emilia Perez rants throughout the rest of the episode, but I also think every time Emilia Perez came up on stage, they showed you the quote-unquote good bits, right? And when I say good bits, I mean the bits that weren't an open riddy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that El Mao song ended up winning, which we will fucking get into. Yeah. I actually think that was the next category. Oh no, it wasn't. It was documentaries. We'll come back to that. But that El Mao song won, which is one of the more least offensive songs. But that's what me and Ross said the whole time, is like, it's really funny how the bits that they've shown make this movie look good, make this movie look interesting. And it's the biggest pile of shit that I have ever seen and will ever see. Like, people in my work and all that have been asking, like, oh, is it really that bad? And I'm like, don't even watch it for a joke.
It's a disgrace, an actual disgrace.
I mean? There's movies you show people because you're like, this movie's really, really bad. Like, off the top of my head, that terrible movie, Malignant, with that woman that's now going out with Sebastian Stan. I think I showed that movie about 6 times to people just to be like, look how fucking dreadful this movie is. Like, but with Emilia Perez, I'm like, let's not. Like, I already gave that movie 2 hours of my life. I'm not doing anything more.
Like, this was the ultimate Netflix, like, power pulling to get something. Now, I've seen people say that they have to give it something. I was like, no, they don't.
Do they?
This movie was not worthy of anything.
It shouldn't have been in Best Picture. No. It shouldn't have been in any of them.
This,
like,
is Netflix throwing money at people.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't care if they say they don't do it, they can't do it. Is it? They fucking can do it, and they have in the past with certain films.
Mm-hmm.
So, don't tell me that they haven't done this. That's
no,
bullshit.
100%. And also, like, you and me had said that last week as well, is that, like, out of all of the Best Picture, like, nominations, every single movie was good, except Emilia Perez. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, we were like, We would be happy if any of these movies won. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
But if that fucking movie won, honestly, we were panicking, man, because it was coming up in every fucking category. They were showing clips of it. They were cutting to the people. And you and me were panicking. We were like, if this fucking wins, yeah. like, I don't want to watch the Oscars ever again. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you can't. Like, this would have been the crash of our generation. Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah, this movie. Now, you get it every Oscar season, there's a movie that maybe shouldn't be there, but in years to come, the people come to see that. But now this, that might happen with Anora this year. I don't know. Like, only time will tell. But you could tell from the beginning that Emilia Perez is, that's been gamed in, and it's I don't understand how anybody can look at that film. And maybe it is a political thing where they're wanting to get, like, I don't know, like a trans actress or whatever, like, out there. But that's fair enough, but there is better, like, movies of that type rather than this.
Yeah, there's better actresses with better material, you know?
Yes.
Like, yeah, fuck Emilia Perez. We'll talk about it again in about 10 minutes because yeah. it came up in our category that we were cringing at.
So the next one after this was Best Production Design, which Wicked won. So the production designer for that, Nathan Crowley, and the set decoration was Lee Sandales. Yet again, this was another tough category.
Yep.
Like, so you had Wicked, Dune Part 2, Conclave, Nosferatu, and The Brutalist.
All looked beautiful. Yeah. All were really, like, encompassing of the world. Uh-huh. Like, there wasn't any... Like, none of those movies looked awful, do you know what I mean? Uh-huh. So, again, I was the same as you. Like, I'd have been happy with whatever had won, do you know what I mean?
The only bit I'd be unsure about is Dune, if, like, because that was very special effects heavy.
Yeah, but they built it in Marrakesh.
No, I understand that. But I see with them having so many special effects in it, if you could take it away from that. But I do, like, out of all of them, I really thought Nosferatu was a shoe-in for this. Because that,
absolutely.
See the castle scenes alone, like that and the Nosferatu where he's in the forest, but now is it that's... Like, that's probably the best looking, like, sets you'll see this year. Now, I understand they need to take the whole movie into the garden. Mm-hmm. Fair enough, but see, for those two alone, I'd give this the Oscar.
100%. And see, even the bit, it's, I think, which is now the, like, iconic bit of Nosferatu, where it's, like, the town as the shadow hands going across it and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's incredible, do you know what uh-huh. I mean? And as much as you and me were, like, Robert Eggers, bit a prick, like, but the man puts the work in to make everything as accurate as it can possibly fucking be. So, like, give him a nod, do you know what I mean? Give him a something, like...
I wonder why this didn't get the recognition.
I wonder if it came out too late, because obviously it only came out in America Christmas Day. Christmas Day? What, Christmas Eve? Was around but then?
Yeah, it was Christmas Day, I'm sure.
We didn't get it until, like, January 3rd or something like that. It didn't come out over here, so I wondered if it was too late where everything else had been quite cemented. But I'm sorry, I'd have been quite happy if Emilia Perez had been punted and Nosferatu had been chucked in. I also, last week when we were like, what movies were snubbed, I couldn't, it was only after we'd finished the edit it and the episode was out,
Nosferatu,
and we were like, why the fuck did we not say Nosferatu? But I know you didn't like Nosferatu, but I'd have been quite happy with that. Like,
do you think that might have been the problem though? Is it, it's not that memorable?
I think it's not that memorable to you. Like,
even as you said, was it, fuck, why didn't we think of that?
Yeah, no, you're right. No, you've caught me out of my bullshit.
I think, it's not that I didn't like the movies, I didn't like Lily Rose Depp in it.
Yes.
I don't understand the Lily Rose Depp. Everybody else in it was good.
Mm-hmm. But, her and Aaron Taylor Johnson, because him as well, he was very like, yeah. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think there was too many problems in that movie, especially for the best picture. I don't know. Like, there will be a reason why it wasn't picked, but then that's up to the Academy to decide, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd love to watch it again just to make sure that I definitely did like it. Do you know what I mean? Because
yeah.
I left loving it, you left hating it, and I was like, But, like...
Now the hype's died for it, I want to see.
Yes, yeah. Right, okay, stunning, you're on.
So the next one's Best Original Song. Now, oh fuck, why did we do this to ourselves? So the winner was El Mao, which is in Emilia Perez.
Not from penis to vagina.
No, funny enough, that was not shown once.
Right! Which, funnily enough, for it being the worst song, is the one that gets stuck in my head the most.
Yeah. So the music was by Clement Ducol and Camille. Now, this Camille person, do you want to explain what she done?
I don't want to talk about it. So it was... Honestly, like, if Ross was cringing in his hands before, my head was, like, in the sofa cushions, do you know what I mean? They came out and they said the song was about, like, anti-corruption, anti-exploitation, and all this good stuff, right? And we were, like, smashing fuck off, right? And then she went, but this song wouldn't have been made without Emilia, Emilia, and then kept singing Emilia for, I'm not joking, what felt like 20 minutes. It was only 30 seconds, it's got to have been, but that was the longest. Like, you could tell she was on, like, bottle number 3 of the Pinot Grigio, do you know what I mean? And the music started playing to play them off. Our man's trying to drag it off, and she's still in that microphone, like, Emilia, and I was like... Somebody get
their drunk auntie after karaoke.
Honestly, that was what it was. Like, that woman was pished. Now, fair enough, do you know what I mean? Like, but hold it together until your category goes, do you know what I mean? Like, fuck's sake. But it was so bad. Like, she kept singing and I just kept looking at Ross like, no, tell me this isn't happening, no.
Now, why is it when Will Smith slaps Chris Rock's security everywhere, but a fucking drunk woman's refusing to leave the stage? Not a single bit of security. I'd have had tough fucking huckle flung out.
There was no physical violence, but it was fucking traumatic, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that was brutal. Like, the cringe is just unreal. And
I hope she's woke up this morning with the fear. I really do. I hope not one after party let her in. I hope she went up the fucking road. I hope her man did that thing now when yous are both pissed in the morning. It's like, fucking, I'll speak to him. Do you know what I mean? Like, that pure under the breath, I can't believe you just fucking embarrassed us. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, everybody's done it. Like, I hope all of that happened and she's woke up this morning full of the fear. I hope her wains were loud as fuck. I hope she's sporting the hangover from fucking hell. Like, nah, that was the cringiest thing I have ever seen in my fucking life. And even thinking about it just made me squirm.
Yeah,
man.
No, it was pretty rough.
Oh, bad, man, bad. But, you know, Mick Jagger looked great.
Aye, that fair dues to him.
That was when we should have known it was going to go wrong, because Mick Jagger gave them the award and they both came out and did, whoop-woo, whoop-woo. And I was like, oh no, that should have been the first fucking tell of that this was going to be the worst minute of my life, do you know what I mean? That was horrific.
You'll be glad to know, though, that's the only 2 Oscars it won.
Yeah.
So we don't need to mention Emilia Perez again.
But we will.
No, we will, but we don't have to, right? Choose to.
Yeah, we're just going to choose to just shit on it from a great height at any fucking opportunity.
Right, so now that shit show's over, right? We're going to Best Documentary Short, which was The Only Girl in the Orchestra.
Yeah, never seen it.
Yeah, we've not done a lot of documentaries the past year.
No.
And I'm happy for them. Like, all female all female crew.
Yep.
And so, you know what? Good on them. Well done.
I think as well, like, it's the same when I'm Still Here kept coming up. Like, I'm Still Here wasn't out, so we couldn't watch it.
Yeah.
And the documentaries, you've not really been able to see anywhere, do you know what I mean? So.
No. So Best Documentary Feature, and for this was No Other Land, which I didn't know anything of.
Nope, but I want to watch it now.
And so No Other Land is about, there's an Israeli documentary filmmaker and a Palestinian filmmaker. We don't know too much about it, but see, from those two speaking alone, and is it, this is far more powerful, far more better than what any... like, A-list celebrity can... I mean, they try and sound sincere, but these two are actual living this. Like,
absolutely. And it was... you couldn't have got any more sincere than those two.
Like, with those two, like, you can tell is, like, they... like, not that they mean it, because obviously they mean it, but it's like... this is the major issue in their life, whereas... Yeah. Even you saying Daryl Hannah, see her coming out shouting Slava Ukraine? and just continuing on. It means nothing.
Yeah.
That's not going to... Who does that help other than her showing her support? But these two are like, the world needs to fucking change here. This is like ridiculous what's going on.
It was the most overtly open political statement that was said during the night. Yeah. And he stood up and was like, the Israeli filmmaker stood up and said, I am free. He's not. Yeah. This isn't right. He's like a brother to me. And you need to sort yourselves. Like, he looked that fucking audience in the eye and was like, your country's fucking this up for all of us. Do you know what I mean? And honestly, like, I just sat there watching this, like, holy shit. Do you know what I mean? Uh-huh. And they got their standing ovation. They got their big applause and stuff. But good for him. Like, he took his moment and was like, no, yous are fucking us up. Like, we've managed to make this together. And we want to watch the film now. Like, we didn't know anything about it. Like, we're going to hopefully watch it
soon. I'll find my support to it, aye. Happy 100%, days, aye. 100%.
But, like, there was a lot of, like, when I was looking up this morning, there's a lot of, like, oh, but it doesn't really pick a side, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, that's not what it's about. The thing is just telling you the story. Do you know what I mean? And it just so happens that these two should be on quote-unquote opposite sides, and they're not. Do you know what I mean? No. And they are standing together. And it was a beautiful speech. Do you know what I mean? It was gorgeous.
Yeah, for Trumps, as I've said, anything like celebrities say half-heartedly at these award shows.
That's terrible what's happening over there.
They didn't go there to congratulate everybody who helped them. Guys, Palestine's fucked. Like, they're in trouble. Like, what are yous doing?
Yeah.
And, like, you can just tell the difference between people like them saying it and somebody coming out and just be like, oh, help them. No, like, you can just, it's unreal. Like, that was probably the best moment of the Oscars for me last night.
I agree. It was really, and do you know the way, like, he wasn't mincing his words at all. Like, he was just straight up, like, down the camera. Your foreign policy is really damaging us. Helping this continue to happen. Yous need to make change. Do you know what I mean? And that's what I mean by what I said at the start of the episode of that, like, these celebrities have platforms. Fucking use them. Do you know what I mean? And this guy's not even a celebrity. Well, not in America, not in the Western world. He is now. But, like, he's not a celebrity, and he stood up and been like, trips. Do you know what I mean? Like, Gonny, something help us out. Do you know what I mean? Which I really appreciated.
Yeah, I just don't think the celebrities, as I say, they always come out with the stuff, but I don't think they mean it.
Nah, do they?
It's just a phrase they say to be like, oh, look, I support them. 90% of these people don't care.
No.
And do you know what? See, if you don't, that's fine, but don't hit us with the fucking, oh, here's a little buzzwords. That'll keep people happy.
Yep.
If you don't care, just shut up.
Yeah. Get the fuck out the way for the people who do care and do something about it. Do you know what I mean?
So now we've got the politics out the way, right? We'll go into the best sound editing. What? Winners, obvious. Dune Part 2.
Dune Part 2 won best sound production and best visual effects, which is it's obvious. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's a no fucking banner.
Yeah, it looked phenomenal. Like, so it looked and sounded from
all
the Denis Villeneuve movies look great. Yep. So it's hardly a, no one's, it's not
shocked.
A shock.
Yeah. And what I was annoyed about though, right, is like, now there was like four people for each bit, sound production and visual effects, right? And they would only get to person number three, and then that music started and started playing them off. And I'm like, No. Yous let that cow sing Amelia 5 times, but you can't let him stand up and thank his ma? No.
Yeah, you let Conan O'Brien waffle a lot of pish.
Yeah, do a song about
wasting time,
and then having, like, they had Shai Hulud the Sandworm playing, like, the harp and, like, skateboarding about and all this kind of shit. You couldn't get the Sandworm on to fucking let them talk?
Nah, bullshit.
I'm biased, though, because I think Dune 2 is a fucking masterpiece, do you know what I mean? But that kind of annoyed me. There was people who they played off who it was like, they only needed like 15 more seconds, do you know what I mean? There's only three of them there. Let this wee random guy thank his mom and his bird, do you know what I mean?
Especially the people you don't see. Like, you don't see who's the best, like, editors or...
Absolutely,
like,
not.
Cinematographers, not. You don't see all that stuff, so let them have their moment.
Absolutely.
It's like, I think that some of the award shows, when you see this, especially, it seems like an inconvenience to do these.
Yeah.
So, like, but it's like, these guys make your movies. It's not fucking Adrian Brody chewing the scenery. It's the guys filming him, the guys who have set everything up.
Yeah.
They've spent months on it before Adrian Brody's even set foot in a stage.
100%. The guys who are making, like, the ambience at the background, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, keep it, like, if they didn't set the mood of the scene, your actors get nothing to propel them. Do you know what I mean? I totally agree, Ross. I totally agree.
Yeah, I mean, the technical awards to go to Dune Part 2 is,
it's a no brainer.
Ah, yes. Like, you can't be shocked. You shouldn't be shocked anyway.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Like, they always push forward, like, the envelope of how far they can take these things. And no doubt Dune Messiah will do the same.
The next part was In Memoriam, and that part always normally chokes me up, right? Like, that's normally the part where you sit and you're like, oh, I forgot they died. Oh, I forgot, do you know what I mean? But they did a really weird thing this year where, now, I couldn't name you the piece of classical music, but it was really ominous and quite threatening. And I was like, are these people dead? Or are you threatening that you're going to take them out back? Like, what the fuck's happening here?
Yeah, are they being executed? What's happening?
And I don't know if I've just heard this piece of music in a movie where something like that's happened and that's why I thought that.
Yeah.
But they were clearly really trying to have, like, a heartfelt moment about, like, Maggie Smith and Gene Hackman and David Lynch and everybody else. But I was just like, this is really giving me the fear, guys. Like, is everybody all right? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was very dark.
Like, winter.
I know it's a somber moment. Like,
it's a somber moment, but like, a sad somber moment. Yeah, not I'm going to threaten your fucking life. Like,
that was fucking ominous as shit.
It was so bizarre. And they missed out Tony Todd and Michelle Trachtenberg as well. Yeah,
that's the two I can think of.
Yeah. I know, obviously, like, because they fucking included Gene Hackman, who only died like 3 days ago.
Oh, there was I say there was the excuse. I mean, Michelle Trachtenberg and an Oscar thingy, but
you were Dawn and Buffy, calm down.
Yeah, but I understand is that she was an actress that died, so she should be in it.
Tony Todd, the face of horror for fucking many years. Candyman. You know what I mean?
Aye.
The next award was for cinematography, and fucking Joe Alwyn popped up, jump scare of the fucking night. But Brutalist ended up winning for cinematography. Again, Kushti, wiring, it looked gorgeous. Like, the part that they showed them filming is the part in the trailer where, like, the sparks are coming up as Adrian Brody's having a snout, and it looks great, and it was shown how they filmed it and stuff. Beautiful, beautiful work, do you know what I mean? And that's all I have to say about that, because Joe Alwyn really just put me off the whole thing.
I don't know enough about cinematography to get into it.
Yeah, I just know it looks nice, you know? Like I couldn't hit you with, like, the technical, long-worded phrases, but I'm just like, that looks really pretty.
Yeah, but I won. Cool.
Aye.
Good on the cinematographer.
I'm Still Here won Best International Picture, and honestly, I wish we had more to say about I'm Still Here, but the only reason we've not spoke about it is because it wasn't out anywhere. Like, it wasn't out in cinema, or if it was, we missed it. It's not been out in streaming or anything like that, so that's genuinely the only reason we've not watched it. Like, we do want to watch it to just round out the set, do you know what I mean? But I wish we had something nice
once
to
once it's available to watch, we'll watch it.
Yeah, man, like, 100%. I
mean, it clearly deserves attention.
Yeah, oh no, absolutely. I am, like, 4 episodes from now, we'll be like, oh, we finally watched it, by the way. Like,
shite. So, best original score, Daniel Blumberg for The Brutalist.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that Wicked had this in the bag because obviously the Wicked score is the original score from the musical. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's not for the movie though. Like,
they didn't
write a score for the movie.
Yeah,
like,
they
used the one that's had. Like, it's original in the sense of when they done it on Broadway, well, done it for the musical, but it's not original because they've used it in the movie. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get you. I really did think Wicked had it in the bag, but then when Brutalist won, I was like, aye, why are you injured?
Yeah. I mean, that or Emilia Perez? What the fuck?
More.
Why the fuck? Like,
no. I'd like to talk about Sex Change Up and Rage.
Oh, it's insane.
No! like honestly, this was the thing that was annoying me last night, is, like, they were dropping in the songs that were, like, reasonable. They were dropping in the songs and the scenes from the film that didn't make it look that bad. And I was like, no, Troops, there is horrific, terrible musical moments. Fucking show it. Do you know what I mean?
Embarrass the bastards.
Yeah, 100%. Like, see if they just showed that Zoe Saldana, I'd like to talk about. Like, Perfect.
Yeah.
Show the fucking people. Do you know what I mean? Or the bit where Emilia Perez is on the phone being like, they took my kids. Like, show that bit. Yeah, you know what I mean? No, stop trying to make this movie look better than what it is. Fucking Emilia Perez. Anyway, so they had a Quincy Jones tribute. That was great. Oprah and Whoopi Goldberg were introducing it, and then Queen Latifah sang ease on down the road. And that was like the uplifting moment I needed at 3 o'clock in the morning because I was lagging, man. Do you know what I mean? I drank too much coffee by that point that I was like, no, this is having the opposite effect now. Like, I'm tired. Do you know what I mean?
I wonder if the Oscars is a thing we'll need to rewatch the day after. Like, not rewatch it, like, just get a replay of it. Because obviously, we can't blame America for having a different time zone. Blame America for a lot of things, but having a different time zone, no. But near the end, I was just like, you're not even getting to a stage where you're taking notes and appreciate it. It's like, oh, just finish.
Aye, 100%, 100%. I think that was the uplifting bit that we needed, but to be like, woo, and then you were swinging Jurassic about making him do the dance and all that.
Oh, he was
like,
loving it, aye.
100%.
Only bit me twice.
100%. Like, honestly, like, I think I needed that wee jolt to be like, cool, perfect, we're still here, do you know what I mean?
I mean, that's probably the best musical bit of this.
Yeah.
Like, there was 4 musical numbers in this. That's 4 too many
An Oscars movie. Yeah.
But, aye, it was the best one. Can't really say anything about it, anything else about it.
100%. So the next category was Best Actor, and Adrien Brody won, meaning that me and Ross had 1 point each.
Aye, but they've done well.
I know, we got this so wrong.
Yeah, we don't know what we're talking about, man.
Absolutely not. So, like, I do understand that Adrien Brody deserved it, right? I thought he was really good. I just don't love Adrien Brody enough to want him to win it. But the fact that he won it, I was like, aye, why? And do you know what I mean? Like, again, though, like we've been saying, like, this has been a stacked year for actors and movies. Do you know what I mean? Like, except you, Emilia Perez. But I would have been happy, like, whatever actor had won it. Like, do you know what I mean? But I was also appreciative that Adrien Brody didn't waffle pish. But your favourite bit.
Oh, the class. Like, as soon as they try to play him off, he's like, no, turn that off. Like, I've done this before. And I was like, what? That's like the ultimate power move.
100%.
And he's like, I'm going to say what I have to say.
100%. Now,
fair enough. He kind of echoed, like, the past political points of what we said earlier on. So he wasn't saying anything new.
No.
But he's just kind of like, we all need to be cool with each other.
Yeah.
Like, just stop. Like, stop all this hate. It was like, stop anti-Semitism, stop racism. But so it was just like, why are we all doing this to each other? And I was like, it was just that ultimate, nah, turn it off.
It was like, so funny, man. When the music started, he was like, nah, turn the music off, turn the music off. I was like, do you know what? Fair play. And that's what I mean by, like, they had, was it 45 seconds? 40 seconds to 45 seconds.
Supposed to have 45 seconds. Kieran Culkin went for about fucking 20 minutes.
Aye.
And like, I think at the start, they let them go over.
Yes.
But then they quickly realised,
fuck, we need to keep this
like,
on a time.
Yeah, we'll run out of time here. But cut other parts.
Yeah.
Conan doesn't need to do, like, a year-old joke about Drake being a paedophile.
That
was last year.
Yeah.
Like, just give up.
100%.
Like, you could cut so much more. See, especially the people that English isn't their first language.
Yeah, give, like, them the time. Yeah.
Give them, like, a couple minutes so they can actually say what they need to say, because it's unfair.
Because there was those two that were trying to read the speech off the phone, and, like, she couldn't read it properly and all this.
Yeah.
And then the music started, and I was like, oh, come on, let them say their fucking
speech.
It's
every year. Like, but I'm also like, why, like, should they have been better prepared? Yes, but you're nervous. You're in front of all these, like, massive celebrities, massive actors.
Absolutely.
So give them a chance to say their piece.
Absolutely, absolutely. Like you say, like, nerves are going. And especially, see, for the last 4, like, Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Director, give them a minute and a half. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is their fucking moment. This is what I know, obviously, every award is their moment. But let's not lie, these are the 4 that people give a fuck about, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, these are the 4 that are going to impact the rest of your career, possibly. Do you know what I mean?
Of course, aye.
So, like, give them time, do you know what I mean? And I was dreading it. Like, see when Adrian Brody was taking about 20 minutes to, like, pure hug everybody before he even got to stage, I was like, here we go. Like, remember when it was DiCaprio's time and every speech he did, he was talking about, like, vegetarianism, climate change, all this kind of shit. And I was like, right, Adrian, hit his way. And his was, honestly, I was really impressed because his was just very much like, when they take it all away from you and you get it back, this means a lot. Do you know what I mean? And he was like, these Oscars mean that we're here and we're working and we're doing it and we can't take it for granted, blah, blah, blah. Then went on his stop your hate shit. Do you know what I mean? And it was, honestly, for Adrian Brody, it was very fucking reserved and I was quite happy with that, do you know what I mean? But I can't wait for Cillian Murphy to become a meme because he was just sitting at the back like, fucking hurry up. Like, but then that's just Cillian Murphy's face at this point.
He just didn't want to be there. Nah, he never does.
I know. He just sits in Rosie's eyes, doesn't even mean it, do you know what I mean?
Aye.
So the next award was Best Director. And Sean Baker fucking cleaned up, man.
Yeah, what was it? 5 of the 6 awards. The only award that I know I didn't win was for Best Supporting Actor, poor Yuri.
Yeah.
But Kieran Culkin was about this year, so tough shit, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. I will see you next year, Yuri, do you know what I mean? So then I'm just going to link the last three together because they are linked. Like, Mikey Madsen got up for Best Actress and her speech was lovely, do you know what I mean? She was very... very demure about it. It was very reserved. It was very like, thank you to my family. And she again thanked the sex work community and things and was really gracious and was like, thank you to the rest of my category. Like, yous are all great.
Uh-huh.
And she just seemed, she seems like she's not let the fame go to her head yet. Like, she seems very grounded. Do you know what I mean? And I'm saying this, and now as much as I love Timothy Chalamet, this Bob Dylan press run, I've been like, okay, babe, let's rein it back in. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a bit desperation station, isn't it?
Right, calm yourself, right? I wasn't going to go there, right?
But no, like, but
slander him, but not too much, do you know what I mean? But it is just getting a bit like, okay, babe, we understand you've made this movie and you're really proud of this movie and I'm really proud of you, but going to just rein it in a bit, do you know what I mean?
Stop coming in, getting hit with bikes and that.
Aye.
Like, calm down.
Whereas she still seems pretty grounded and very much like, oh my God, I can't believe I won this. So I think her career will be really interesting to see where we go from here, do you know what I mean?
I wonder what she does because she's not going to stick, like I'm saying that, she's not going to be like a wee indie darling, I don't think.
Yeah, because we'd said that the only things we've seen her in Scream and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Yeah. And when Sean Baker won for Best Director from Anora and Quentin Tarantino was there, Sean Baker turned around and thanked Quentin Tarantino because he was like, if you hadn't cast Mikey Madsen in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, we wouldn't have Anora.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, it was really nice. Like, when Anora went on to win Best Picture, it was very much like long live independent movies and make the movies you want to make because they all, it was just a wee small team, do you know what I mean? And they made it with a $6 million budget.
I love that that's small.
I know, right? Like that, I know.
That's scary to me. That's still a lot of money. $6 million.
100%.
So much money.
100%. Like, $6 million budget, really small crew.
Yeah.
Like, all of the cast were relatively unknowns. Like, and it's managed to just whip out all the Oscars. Like, honestly, good for Anora, do you know what I mean? Like,
I feel like Anora just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I think, now, when we watched Anora, we liked it.
Yeah.
But I would love to go back and rewatch it now that it's, like, an Oscar winner.
Yeah.
Like, we're obviously going to watch it differently, knowing that it's won the Oscar. Uh-huh. But I do think, off the cuff, Anora's probably going to be one of the ones that I rewatch more. Like, I don't know if I'm going to sit through The Brutalist again. Probably not. Do you know what I mean?
Nah. It's the same way Oppenheimer. It's too much time.
Yeah, that's the thing. We said that last year. We were like, oh, what movies will we rewatch? The only movie I've rewatched from last year's Oscars is Barbie because my nieces love it. Do you know what I mean? And this year though is a lot more rewatchable movies for me. Like, I would watch Anora. I have watched The Substance. I have watched Dune 2 several times. I would
several times, aye.
Shut up, Ross, right? I would probably rewatch A Complete Unknown because
You're obsessed with Timothée Chalamet?
I'm not obsessed. I am a reasonable amount of obsessed.
The thing with A Complete Unknown is
yes,
it,
yes.
How many times can you rewatch The Life of Bob Dylan?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there's no, like, with June and that, the spectacle, like, fucking, as I said, looks, sounds amazing. Story's a bit of a shambles, oh, but you can get, like, you can get away with that if your movie looks that good. But
it's the source material. Do you
it's
know
not like Bob Dylan's. You can be like, God, I'm really excited about Bob Dylan in the 60s. Do you know what I mean? It's a movie for you have to like the people in it.
Yeah. I think being a Bob Dylan fan would help. Yeah. And I have listened to more Bob Dylan music since watching The Complete Unknown, but I have also listened to The Complete Unknown soundtrack where it's Chalamet singing Bob Dylan songs, you know?
Yeah, because
so,
I don't care any more or less about Bob Dylan since watching that.
Yeah.
But I think that's the problem with a lot of biopics is you can't, like, oh, I want to know more about Oppenheimer or Bob Dylan. Is it? You
read that a book.
That movie's not enough to give you everything you need, do you know what I mean? So it's, biopics are a strange one, for me anyway.
But I think Anora, we really underestimated Anora. Like, we didn't think it was going to, like, as much as we thought it was a good movie, we didn't think it was anywhere near to being an Oscar winner. Do you know what I mean?
Because, oh God, no.
Because obviously it's not been a huge spectacle. It's not had the millions and millions and millions of budget. Like, it's not got all, it's a very straightforward, plain film, if you know what I mean. Like, there's there's no razzle dazzle, there's no special effects, nothing like that. So we really underestimated it. So the fact that that cleaned up, I think, signals a new, well, I say a new, it's all just coming back round full circle. Do you know what I mean? Like, they do this every so often, like, when it all comes back around. And I think they'll be more willing now to give indie directors more money, more budget. I think the fact that The Substance was in there for Best Picture is going to mean that horror can be considered for more than just makeup, because the only horror movie that's ever won an Oscar is Silence of the Lambs. Every other horror movie's just been like makeup and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? So I think most of the directors this year were pretty unknown directors, and most of the cast in a lot of these movies were pretty unknown, or not unknown, but I mean like up and comers. Do you know what I mean?
It's not your Scorsese's, Tarantino's,
your Brad Pitt's, your De Niro's.
It's like a newer generation of filmmaker coming out,
which I'm excited to
see. Oh yeah, aye.
Like, and if this is Anora, I'm really looking forward to see what Mikey Madsen does. I'm really looking forward to see what Sean Baker does. This actually makes me want to go back and watch the rest of his
stuff. Yeah.
And I mean, if his first film was filmed on iPhones, like, that also just shows his ingenuity, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like what he can do now they're giving him money, do you know what I mean?
Aye.
Also, big up take that for getting royalties for the greatest stage, you know what I mean?
They've made enough few quid.
Everyone wins. Hope except Emilia Perez, which is even better.
Hope they pay their tax this time. I mean, this is a stupid question, but who won? Who won the Oscars?
I mean, it's got to be Anora, isn't it?
Sean Baker.
Sean Baker cleaned up.
I say he's the only person to win four Oscars for one movie. Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
Like, he's only hanged by Walt Disney, but he got four separate movies in one night. And I'm like, that doesn't count.
Yeah.
And you're Walt Disney. Like, you're all pumping out, like, all sorts of movies. 100%. But Sean Baker won, like, without a doubt.
I think the winner of the night is, like, the independent cinema. Do you know what I mean? And the fact that it was the Latvian guys that won for making the animated feature on their laptops.
Flow,
and all this kind of stuff. Like, I think the winner of the night is, yes, like, Sean Baker, I know that, blah, blah, blah. I think the winner of the night is the hopeful gathering of independent movies to be like, let's go make something fucking good here, do you know what I mean? Let's actually make great shit.
Yeah,
you know
actual
what I mean?
Stories to tell rather than some Marvel IP or some fucking
absolutely
like $100 million budget. It looks a bit weird.
Yeah.
No, I get you.
Absolutely. And also, as much as like history was made, history was also made by Emilia Perez for having the most losses in a night, which I feel just is beautiful karma.
No,
you know,
2 out of 13, I believe.
Aye.
Return of the King only nominated 11.
Aye.
I just showed you.
100%.
Netflix has mad money.
Aye, 100%. 100%. Well, guys, this has been our Oscars 2025 episode. We will not speak about the Oscars or Emilia Perez again until next year. Well, not Emilia Perez, the Oscars.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next week for... Let's pick something lighthearted, man. Let's pick something like just a wee daft thing to dip our toes back in the water.
I get you, I get you.
Nothing super shite. Anyway, we'll see you next week. Bye!
Bye!